Hello and a very warm welcome to the Cardiff Podcast. My name is Alistair Love. This podcast is part one of a homelessness special to mark the staging of the Homeless World Cup in Cardiff, with actor Michael Sheen bringing the event to the Welsh capital. I obviously tried to speak to the great man, but I failed. But I did speak to co-founder of the Homeless World Cup and equally inspirational, Mel Young. We talked in depth about how lives are transformed by street football and how we should approach the issue of homelessness, an open sore in ours and many other societies around the world. I caught up with some of our Welsh players and the men's team coach Wayne, who all have very different tales of how they ended up on the street. I also had the joy of bumping into a previous guest on this podcast, the very lovely Ridian Bowen Phillips, who's doing a great job on the PA on the main pitch. Part 2 of the Homelessness Special is a return visit to Llanrymney Boxing Club and a very special project for homeless people in Cardiff that is also transforming lives. But for now, sit back and enjoy a visit to the Homeless World Cup. It sounds very much like this. Mel, thank you so much for coming on the Cardiff Podcast. I really, really appreciate it. Just tell us a little bit, how's it been going so far?
Oh, it's been really excellent. You know, this is our 17th event. People of Wales have made this incredibly welcome. Great friends been made. Here we are in Bute Park, lots of football going on, activities for children, kind of festival type atmosphere. It's just been really great.
And how have the, in your assessment, how have the Cardiff people sort of embraced the event?
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, people have been coming up, and, you know, if we're wearing the T-shirts or whatever, people have been coming up in the street and wishing us well and asking us about it. Or, you know, this morning I was stopped by two or three people who wanted to know who was playing and so on and so forth. Incredibly friendly, just incredibly friendly, welcoming, and get it. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes with usually kind of intellectuals, you have to explain it to them 100 times and don't get it. But it's really simple. We're just using football to cheat, to tackle homelessness. And it's a simple thing that's happening. So people here just bought into it and get it.
It's wonderful that people do get it, but I do need to ask the question, what is it about the Homelessness World Cup or the Homeless World Cup that does have an impact? Football is a sort of universal language, I appreciate, but what is it that, you know, does make an impact ultimately?
For us, it's the simplicity. The beauty of football is it's very easy to engage people with. So sometimes when you're working with people on the street, because of their self-esteem and self-respect is so low, and I've seen this work with homeless people a long time, they don't believe anything's possible, okay? So we kind of bounce a ball, I mean, just keep it sort of simple, in front of them, say, you want to play now? And they'll go, well, why not? And then we're not judgmental because they could be terrible at football or really good at it, but we just involve them in a game. So now they're up and doing something, and then we encourage them to come back. Then we're just built. It's a psychological first step. It's very, very important. And so now we've got them involved in something. They could be part of a team. It's almost like being part of a family. And then, you know, we're not judgmental. We're always kind of, and they're not homeless people. They're players. So we call them footballers.
Yeah.
So we're changing their perception of themselves. And we're always just then talking about the football rather than talking about their issues. We're non-judgmental about them until they start talking about maybe their drug issue or alcohol issue. And then we're building on top of that. My voice is going, I need to.
No, don't worry.
If you could get rid of
it. It's been a long week for you.
That's the start point. So I kind of always tell this a lot of times, story. So I was in Austin, Texas one time, and they were starting a street soccer project. Thank you. And they were playing in this kind of church hall. And we went across from the hostels where we were, and this homeless guy was asleep in front of the door.
Yeah. Right?
And he had his kind of sleeping bag and whatever there. So we had to wake him up, you know. So he was a bit grumpy, you know, like most people when they were, yeah, what's sure. This going on? So we need to get in here. And they said, well, why don't you come and join us? Oh, no, I don't want to do that, you know. Then we said, oh, well, you can come and watch. No, I don't want to do that. So eventually we persuaded to come in, started watching, wasn't interested. Then he had a cup of tea, da-da-da-da-da. And in the end, I said to him, I'll tell you what, well, if I go in and play, will you come as well? So he goes, all right then. So then he started playing. So then he started, he's on the pitch running around like a mad thing. It comes to the end and he said, when's the next session? Because I want to play. So it's that sort of thing, you see. It's just about involving people and making them feel something. And it's about you get a bit of sweat, the adrenaline starts running.
So almost in the first instance, they're sort of distracted almost from their sort of everyday.
It's like you just forget about it for a moment. I mean, obviously the situation is there, but you just forget about it. And so what you're seeing here at the Women's World Cup is people are playing for their country. That's what they're doing. And the people who are watching are thinking, yeah, they're playing for the country. So whether they're homeless or not, it's irrelevant. So they're becoming footballers. They are footballers. Are they a good goalie? And that's what people are talking to me about. Is he a good goalie or is he a good left back or kind of whatever? So what you're trying to do in that, the psychological, is just change the perception of yourself and other people's perception of you. That's the critical thing.
Yeah.
Then after you've got past that level, you're then into just the practicalities of what the issues are, whatever they may be. They might be drugs and alcohol, they might be housing, employment, family issues, whatever they are, or the whole lot, and start working on pathways out of the circumstance.
So play first, and then you can just sort of identify issues in a way, possible way out, because it's not easy, is it?
No, absolutely not. But the critical thing is that you, psychologically, you start to have kind of confidence in yourself. So, we a lot of our partners, we will certificate something. So a lot of them have no certificate. So now you've got a certificate that you're a street soccer player, or you're here, you've got a medal. Oh, so you guys, you can say on your CV, right, that you represented your country and you have a medal. Now, there's not many people can say that. So that's building them up in terms of what they are. So you're more confident in yourself. So I've known situations like this where back years ago when I was working with homeless people, and actually it was a big British company, and they kind of said, look, we've got about half a dozen vacancies and we'll keep them for you guys, which was brilliant. So myself and colleagues, we got the six homeless guys and we said, so six jobs, all of them failed. And we're looking at trying to understand why, and it's embarrassing because, the business, oh my God, this is a complete mess. And it's because they had no confidence, so they were almost deliberately mucking the job up on the basis it was somebody else's fault. So going through this in the football, you take the same six people through this process and they won't muck up the jobs. Because actually now they're confident, they're much more confident in themselves that they can do the jobs, and they come back into society. So there's quite profound things going on when you're homeless, I think, that make you completely excluded and marginalised from society, and getting back over that kind of cliff is really hard, really, really hard. And so all we're doing is kind of building bridges and support mechanisms. So if you like, all we're doing here is we're just putting them in and changing their clothes and building pitches and getting them to play football. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
It's the same person who might have been sleeping in the street last night in different circumstances and changed, and look what happens.
Yeah.
First of all, they identify with what they're doing, and then the public cheer them.
Yeah. And obviously they must grow several feet just having that sort of support from the stands and
absolutely
seeing the crowds come in. And
Absolutely. So in the first, not so much now, you can see it, but certainly in the first ones we did when, it was a bit kind of, we didn't know what was going to happen. You could actually see people physically standing up, it was kind of very moving, actually.
Well, that's fantastic. And obviously, I work for a children's charity as my day job, and the sort of level of the difference in the stories why certain people end up on the streets is staggering. No one's story is the same. But what's the most sort of inspirational story you've heard as part of getting involved in the World Cup, if you like?
You mean from people?
Yeah, and then, sort of how it's transformed. Because I've heard, a lot of times that it's transformative.
It's transformative, and I always kind of say, well, speak to the players.
Yeah,
they'll tell you.
I certainly intend to. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
Because they're better at telling the story. Yes. It's their story. I mean, I can tell the story, but, I mean, they're better at it because it's just where they're at.
Fine. Yeah.
But, I mean, people have, in terms of the tragedies, it's absolutely disgraceful what's happened to some. And so I've seen, the worst I've seen probably in the world is probably in Russia, where there were these children who were living in the sewers, and surviving in the sewers and becoming feral. And they had these pipe boxes, up in the flats, and they would they would go up the pipe boxes and they would sleep halfway up because the pipes were hot. Then they'd go on the roof, and so they'd be stealing. They were like packs of dogs or something. Yeah. And then they'd run up and down these pipe boxes into the sewers on the roofs, and basically they'd just been abandoned. And so all that was happening was they were just surviving. So that, you know, people didn't shoot them and their menaces and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get that kind of extreme, and then you get people who are just falling. I mean, on the other extreme, I know a guy who was a millionaire, and he lost his business in the financial crash, and he ended up in the street. So he went from up there to down there,
yeah,
very quickly.
Yeah.
It's not so common, to be honest, that sort of thing, but it does happen. So
yeah.
So and then at the same time, you know, you get picked up. You know, I mean, the you can get involved in our programs, and I've just seen people who transformed their lives. So, I mean, the media want to talk about it, but some of our guys have been signed professionally, you know, in Brazil and Mexico, which
wow.
is astonishing.
Yeah.
Media like that story.
Oh yeah, well yeah.
It's like a Disney story or something.
Yeah.
But it's not so common.
Yeah.
So our guys are getting jobs, ordinary jobs like bus drivers or waiters or whatever. But the important thing is they're in society and they're moving on. One of the Brazilian players, they got him a job in a kitchen, you know, as a dishwasher, and now, I think 5 or 6 years, maybe it's past, he's now a well-known chef in Brazil. Just published his own book, a book. So he's like, you know, he's gone from there, and he's now a celebrity chef.
Yeah.
So these stories, it's like amazing, but it's we're littered with them. But it's about people who've just kind of grabbed the initiative and
yeah.
moved on, you know?
I mean, it's very striking to me, just being out there now and hearing the next game is Hong Kong against Pakistan. It truly is a World Cup, this.
Mm.
Are there themes that link homelessness across the world, or are there a variety of different factors?
I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, my opinion, okay, is that actually you can look at somebody in the eyes, whether from Hong Kong or Pakistan or Wales or wherever, and you'll get the same, exactly the same exclusion. You can see it
yeah.
in somebody, okay? But homelessness itself manifests itself slightly differently from country to country. So, in the US, for example, it's different from China or Russia or Hong Kong. When we started, we tried to, in fact, we spent 3 days, okay, trying to get an international definition that would suit the criteria for how you were a player, and then we gave up after 3 days because it was impossible. So the way we do it is it goes by the homeless criteria of your country. So, you know, in England, for example, and in Wales, if you're in a homeless shelter, homeless hostel, you're homeless. According to the law, according to charities, you're homeless. But to some African countries, if you've got any shelter over your head, you're not homeless. So all we do is we go by the definition of the country and how. So it's not perfect, but it works for us actually, and you know, it's based on trust and each of the country has slightly different definitions and slightly different focus in terms of how they're moving people on. So in some countries, like Scandinavian countries, for example, you know, the issues are more around, say, drugs, because they've got a strong social security system. So it's tackling those drug and alcohol addiction issues. Whereas in some other countries, there's no drug and alcohol issues at all kicking around. It's about poverty, full stop. And how you move people there. I mean, with shoes and so on. So it differs slightly, and therefore the route out is slightly different. Culture of the country is different. Attitude towards homeless people, government attitude, police attitude, etc. Even things like the weather.
Yeah.
You know.
So the pathways that you identify can be slightly different.
They're all slightly different.
Yeah.
But the one common thing between everybody that unites everybody is this exclusion. You can see it in the people. They're excluded from society.
And just to bring it back to the UK, I don't, in my lifetime, never seen homes and they're so overt and, you know, noticeable, and in the city centres it's very, very visual. It's easy for people, I think, to feel a bit overwhelmed when they see it. I would argue quite a few people don't really know how to react to it. How, in your long history of working in the homeless sector, if you like, for want of a better phrase, how should people approach it? What can people do on a practical level?
Well, in my opinion, it's always in the first place, it's just talk to them.
Yeah.
Because people are kind of immediately isolated. I mean, there was some study done recently where, I think it was a month, they had these homeless guys in the street, and at the end of the month, they asked the people who'd walked past what they saw in the street, and they talked about what was in the shop window and the cars in the street, and they half of them never mentioned the homeless community, so they become invisible.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you imagine that? People just don't even know you're there. Yeah. If it was you, just nobody noticing. So I always kind of say, your start point is, well, say hello at least, and talk about the weather or the football or the whatever that you and I might talk to if we met on the bus or something, and that just makes them just feel kind of part of something. I think then it's about getting to know them a bit if they're there regularly. And just finding out without being prying, like, what is it they want? Is it food? Is it employment? And then I think people have to take a bit of responsibility. Like, well, do you know in your own area where the shelter is, where they might get some food? Most people don't. Well, I would say, well, try and find out so that going to speak to the person. So, well, you don't have to be here because it's dangerous being on the street. Any survey on my own personal knowledge of this, it's just dangerous being there, so get off the street. So there are places you can go and etc. So we as a public, we need to take some responsibility and ownership of this. So that's where I would start.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, it is for people, it's like they're concerned about it and they don't like it but don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But I think that's a start point.
Yeah.
And I'm a great believer in you know, you do simple things, so don't make this whole thing complicated. It's do simple things. When you say, you know, United Nations says 100 million homeless in the world, so that just numbs you completely. Yeah. So what do we do? Don't know. But start with one, and we started with a football, and we just started playing, you know, getting people involved playing football.
Yeah.
And so I sometimes, when I do talks, I kind of, you know, with students in particular, I say, right, you know, the first question is, right, tell me how a referee can end homelessness. So blank. So if you look here, though, all people are doing is into their conferences. We've got these referees who come from all over the world who volunteer, who take the time. And what they are is referees. But they're just using the skill that they have to come here. And they're a very, very important part of what we do here. And now they're teaching homeless people how to be referees. So, and that's creating potential jobs and changes and stuff like that. So it might not appear obvious to begin with that you know, what you can do. But if you just give a little bit of thought to it, then it can make a difference. I maintain that there shouldn't be any homelessness in the world. I mean, I think we've created a system which we accept. It's the same, and you've got to be angry about it, I think. But otherwise, you kind of lull yourself into a situation where the whole thing just becomes acceptable. So it's a bit like food banks. So I would say about food banks, well, it's great that we have charities that do food banks and give out food to people who can't afford it. Absolutely fine. It's coming from the heart. And you know, donate to food banks. But hey, we shouldn't have any food banks.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what we should be talking about. Yeah. What system has caused so many people to have to go to food banks, the indignity of it? How many people have become... And that's what we need to sort out. And the danger is that we become complacent about it, and you know, think, it's okay. I give money. I give to food banks. It's okay, and that's not okay.
No.
So I think it's you're right. I don't know if it's about fury, but we need to be coming together. I would be very critical of our sector, which I'm in it as well. So how actually disconnected we are. I probably think there's far too many charities, far too many initiatives. We're not connected. We're not smart in terms of being angry or being focused in terms of the changes that we need, and we need to be much better at it. We become to my point earlier, what happens is, I think, there's a difference between managing homelessness and ending homelessness. And so what you've got in the UK is we manage it.
Yeah.
So there's lots of charities around doing good stuff. I'm not criticizing them. You know, if you're going to give food soup and so on and so forth and make it better for homeless people, that's fine. I'm not against it, but it doesn't actually solve the problem. And so we need to change the debate, to be quite honest. And I think what's happened, why people aren't angry, is because they think, oh well, it's other people are doing it. So sometimes people, like with me, I get quite angry with them because they say, oh Mel, it's amazing what you do, and maybe it is, and it's better people are complimentary than not to any human beings, better somebody's nicer than not. But actually, you know, and somebody said to me one time, or I overheard them say, no, we don't have to bother about the homelessness because Mel's looking after us, okay? I mean, this is nonsense. Because one individual cannot solve this, and the way to solve it is you need to be engaged and do stuff. So I don't know if it's about getting angry, but it's about collective action. Yeah. And I would maintain it's connected to a wider political point, which is about the system. It's the system. So one of the things, you know, I've been working in the homeless sector since 1993, and one of the things that is really annoying me now as I get older, but is that, so we've been successful in the things I've done in terms of getting, I mean, this is usually successful in terms of changing people's lives. The problem is we move these people, or they move themselves through us, and then the next day a whole lot more have come, and it's almost like it's just relentless. Just relentless.
It's a conveyor belt, isn't it?
People,
yeah,
in very difficult, miserable circumstances, and it's just nonsense.
Yeah.
And there's only so much we can do. So to me, it's about, we have to kind of start looking at the system. What is the system? It's economic system that's driving this globally where we are, and us as individuals in terms of our values. So to your point again about being angry, it's about what us discussing, what sort of society are we creating and what responsibility do we have? So what values do we get? Are we going to be a kind society, a fair society, an inclusive society? Or are we going to be greedy people who consume too much, don't care about the planet, don't care about anybody else? So we as human beings now, or as society, have to start making a decision about what side of the fence do we want to be on. And these things are all connected. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment. That's what will get me, you see me banging my fist. That's where we need to be. And we need to be talking. We have governments because we elect them, because we live in democracies. And we need to have governments that represent our views. And we need to be saying to them, look, we don't want to live in this world. The way it is, the wealth goes to wealth. People are getting more and more wealthy. Even do nothing, just invest a little in the stock market and just make more money. People have two or three houses. You know, you create investment portfolios around Airbnbs and so on now. But in the meantime, all this, there's no socializing, people just fall off the end. So that's the market system that we're creating, that's creating thousands of people to end up falling off the edge. So we have to change it.
Finally, Mel.
Is that me being in a
spot on, to be honest, isn't it? How on earth we change the system and address all these things, God only knows, but we've got to try, haven't we? We do absolutely have to try. Finally, Mel, what will you take away from this week?
Well, always, every week in this Homeless World Cup, it reiterates to me absolutely that homeless people are just human beings like the rest of us. They're not a kind of blob of the homeless. I hate the phrase of the homeless. They're homeless people, and they're brilliant human beings, and despite their circumstances, they're just great examples for what humanity should be like. The way they play the game, it's just the way sport should be, the way they are with that. They can't speak the same language, they're just good people, outgoing, friendly, loving people. And you know, I know the different journeys a lot of them been on, and we go away and there'll be difficult journeys for the next year and so on, but it just underlines the goodness of humanity, and that we can change lives. And so it's like, I always kind of say this event for me, it's like a shot of adrenaline in the arm for the next year, you know, keeps us all going for the next,
sustains us to the next thing.
But I mean, from Wales in particular though, it's just been wonderful. I mean, People have been so friendly and supportive and to everybody, and the welcome we received in Wales has been brilliant. So certainly it's we'll always have everybody here, myself included, we'll always have great memories of Wales.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear, and it's a brilliant event, and thanks so much for taking time out. I really admire what you do, and long may that continue, and let's hope that change happens. So
We have to keep working together. Charities such as yourselves, we have to keep working together.
But thank you, Mel. Really appreciate it.
No worries.
Cheers.
South Africa take the lead.
Hi, Cherie. Thank you very, very much for coming on the Cardiff podcast. I really appreciate
it.
So you've just been made captain of Wales this week.
Yeah, yesterday.
How's that feel?
It feels amazing, honestly. It's just, everyone's just congratulating me. It just feels amazing.
What an honour.
Yeah.
And so just to rewind a little bit, what is your story? How did you come to be homeless, if you don't mind me asking?
It's just started off with like family problems at the beginning. I was sofa surfing. I moved in with a friend, and then obviously I got rushed into hospital, so then she asked me to leave. And then I got a foundation called Shishp. They've supported me through everything that I've been through, and then they've helped me to get a place of my own then.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. And how's it been being with the Welsh football team this week?
Oh, it's been absolutely amazing. The friends that I've made here, everyone's so nice, friendly. It's just been amazing.
And what's it been like mixing with people? Because presumably, you know, you've shared stories with people from around the world. How has that been?
It's just mad how many different stories you hear off everybody else. It's just crazy. And then some of them you can react, like, kind of, what's that word called?
Sort of empathise?
Yeah.
And how important is it to you to meet all these people who've had similar experiences?
It is really important to me, because obviously I've got anxiety and depression. So, like, my anxiety was at the beginning, it was a bit hard rocks and everything, but it's just been like my anxiety is just getting better and better by each day since I've been here.
So really the whole experience has been transformative.
Yeah, definitely.
What does life hold for you now?
Well, after playing for the World Cup, I will be still playing football in Swansea for Street Football Wales, and then see where life takes me then after that.
So how much better are you feeling as a result of not only the World Cup, but in being involved with football?
Much better myself, yes. Yeah, so.
Fantastic. And captain of Wales, I mean, let's get back to that.
Yeah.
What's your captaincy approach?
Are
you a shouter? Are you in your faces? Or how does it work?
It's just supporting the guys and just being there for them and seeing if everything's been done properly. So.
And one final question, Cherie, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
How important is it that the general public come into this event and sort of just change their perception, if you like, about homelessness?
It has, yeah, because they can see what the impact this has made on people that are homeless, and they don't see the other sides of what they do on the streets. They come here, they can see what they're all doing for themselves, so it is a massive impact for them to see.
And when the tournament ends and everyone goes away, what message would you want the public to take away from it?
It's just support people, really, if they're down, and just give them a little hand or something if they need it. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. And we're still in the tournament, right?
Yes, we're still in the tournament.
Luck.
Thank you.
Good luck, and it's fantastic to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So I'm here with Ridian Bowen Phillips, who's obviously a previous guest on the Cardiff podcast. Great to see you, mate.
Thank you very much.
How did you get involved?
Just asked by the company that's doing all the PR for it, Working Word. They're doing a fantastic job, and they knew of me doing work with Cardiff City and with the Welsh national squad. So it was just something I'm really comfortable doing, but for a fantastic cause, you know.
Yeah.
It is amazing, just especially in Cardiff, to raise awareness for the homelessness. But this week, I have forgotten that I'm watching a homeless World Cup. I'm calling it the World Cup, basically, because this is Germany, this is Wales, these are the players, they are the stars.
Yeah.
So you remember why you're here, to raise awareness, but you treat them as the stars.
And it truly is a World Cup, isn't it? Because I'm sitting there and you hear that Hong Kong are about to play Pakistan and all that. It's fantastic. fantastic, yeah. Isn't it? It truly is a world event.
All happening here in the capital city, Wales, and Cardiff, and it's wonderful. All the different languages, all the different flags, everyone getting on with each other. And I was saying to Michael Sheen that it does feel like a bit of a bubble, that you forget about the political problems, yeah, and the aspects of the outside world. Why can't we all be like this all the time, just everyone getting on in this one big melting pot, you know? It's wonderful.
Well, that's what I was discussing with Mel, is that, you know, literally just half a mile over that way is people living in tents, doorways. It's a total scandal, isn't it?
And yeah,
you, just being here, you can see what could be done.
Yeah, and what should be done, really. You know, it shouldn't be happening in this day and age. But some of the stories here, you know, from across the world. I was talking to a guy called Jordan, who is homeless in Cardiff, and he said he just sleeps in a shop entrance in Cardiff city centre and hasn't slept for 3 days and things like that, and goes on the bus just to sleep, you know. So hopefully with all this awareness, with all this press coverage, something could be done. I'd like to see more politicians coming down, if I'm honest with you, from the Senedd and from the Welsh Government, but hopefully the message is getting through.
Frankly, they should feel uncomfortable, shouldn't they? That's the reality. So with Jordan, what's he got out of it when you were talking to him?
Well,
how's he responded?
He's been coming here every day. He was on the mic with Michael Sheen just before, I think, Gweno was playing. And Michael Sheen gave him his official World Cup jacket, signed it for him. And he was absolutely beaming. He was saying, oh, this is going to be, you know, I'm going to keep this forever. This is going to be under my pillow. And, you know, I think what people are getting out of the homeless people are that people are treating them with respect. People are talking to them, shaking pictures with them, having pictures with them, and not just walking past, ignoring the problem, looking down on your phones, you know, just acknowledging them. They are like us human beings.
And yeah, well, they totally are. So, I mean, what have you got out of it yourself then this week?
A lot of smiles. It's been lovely. The referees, as you can see going past.
It's a load of referees.
Nice, very nice. They are doing a wonderful job, the officials.
That's the first, isn't it?
I know. Praising the referees. But, you know, meeting all the different countries. The German players just celebrating behind us now. It is that, just hearing these languages, seeing these people. And, yeah, that's what I've got out of it. You know, that has changed my perception.
And it was a fantastic stereotype of the Germans to model.
Clinical, efficient football from Germany there. But that's the thing. Everyone kind of represents and reflects their country. Yeah. Portugal looks strong. Brazil, great football. Mexico, Chile, you know. And they're all wearing their official kits. And it's great to see.
Awesome, mate. Listen, it's great to catch up with you. Thanks
always
so
a pleasure.
Much.
Anytime.
Care, mate. See you soon, right?
Top man.
Good on you, mate. So I'm here with some of the lads who are coaching and playing for Wales. If I could start with you, Wayne, how's this week been? I mean, it's brilliant having the World Cup in Cardiff. How's it been for yourself?
Well, the atmosphere has been off the scale, something we never expected. So it's great that all the people come along and cheered for us. And all the other countries, as you can see now, here now, they're cheering for not only Wales, but for everyone else around the world.
And if you could just touch a little bit on your story, how you got in the position of being homeless. You know, you don't have to go into too much detail, obviously. And what this has done for you, getting involved with the Wales football team.
Yeah, so 6 years ago, I was a homeless drug addict, walking this patch of grass.
Right.
So walk around desperate, desolate, nowhere to go, thinking, what do I do next? I found recovery. I went to play in Amsterdam 2015, and I'm very thankful, very grateful to Street Football Wales. They gave me a coaching role. So this is my fifth homeless World Cup. And it's here in Cardiff, and it's just been unbelievable. I can't put a word how amazing it's been.
That's fantastic. So, really, it's completely turned your life around, really?
Completely turned my life around.
Yeah.
It gave me the confidence to push on in life, you know, and being socially excluded for so long, to come into a team like the Welsh squad, be able to communicate and express myself, it's taught me life skills.
And you lads know more than anybody else. Half a mile that way into the city centre, there's people living in tents, people are living in doorways.
Yeah.
How important is this event to them?
Well, if they come along and see, you know, every human being has potential. If they come along and get a bit of belief, a bit of hope, then who knows?
Oh, that's brilliant. And yourself, sorry, can I get your name?
Tom Brady.
Tom. And what about yourself? What's your story and what has this done for you this week?
Well, I was homeless about 2 years ago after I split with my partner, in and out. Drugs, the lot, about 6 months ago, before I obviously met all these, before I got introduced, I was just on a spiral downhill, and honestly I didn't want to live or nothing. Literally, since I've met these, literally it's given me to be around people with such similar, obviously not as bad or as good or whatever, but to take everything on board, like from Wayne, it's amazing. Honestly, it is, so grateful for the opportunity obviously to play here. And
what does life look like now, Tom?
I don't know, it's a lot to take in this week, honestly. It is, it really is. I'm kind of just living the moment. I feel like a professional footballer, honestly. It's amazing.
Wow.
I can't thank them all enough, honestly.
How important is it for the, you can all chirp in on this, how important is it for the public come along and all get a different perspective on homelessness?
Homelessness, you know.
Sorry, most, can I get your name?
Oh, sorry, yeah, I'm Mark.
Mark, yeah, Mark, your goalkeeper for
I'm
Wales.
The goalkeeper
Fantastic,
for Wales.
Mark, yeah.
You mentioned the word homeless. And people see, you know, like you just mentioned, people in the tents, sitting in the doorways and what have you. That's not the be all and end all of homelessness. There's various.
It's a very big scale.
There's a very big scale of homelessness.
Yeah.
I'm homeless at the moment. I live in a hostel.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Actually, can we go in there somewhere a bit quieter? Yeah. Is that all right? Yeah, we can walk and talk as well, if that's all right. Yeah.
Yeah, so
sorry, go on.
I'm currently homeless myself. Yeah. I'm on a drug and drink program. I'm actually 4 years and 1 month sober.
Brilliant.
But, you know, it's a daily struggle. Yes. It doesn't matter if you're 1 week, a month, 4 years, 10 years, whatever. It is a daily struggle with any addiction, not just alcohol, you know, cannabis, even sex addiction. You know, there's numerous addictions that people probably don't realise are addictions, but
everyone's got a different story, haven't they? Everyone's got a different route into this.
But, you know, going back to what Wayne and Tom said, being a part of Street Football Wales and being part of the Welsh squad, we're a big happy family.
Yeah.
We've all been on our own journeys, and we're just
together. To all be on this one journey together, it's,
you know, it's like Wayne said, social inclusion is. This last 3 months that I've been involved with the Welsh squad, it's brilliant. We've bonded as a family, we've grown as a family, and you know, I've made friends for life. And once the World Cup's over, football's never over.
No.
We will meet again on a football pitch as opposition, but you know, it's more, as it says here, you got the flash kicking the ball, it's more than a game. And it's, if more people can get involved, all power.
What's your message then to people who rock up at this event, you know, who are lucky enough to go home to nice houses and all that and a nice life? What is your message to them?
I think the most important thing is, you know, somebody who sees who's homeless, there is potential.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I think with stuff like this podcast, with social media, and to be fair, the generations coming through now, I think their awareness around homelessness and substance misuse through social media and stuff like this, it's really impressive.
Yeah.
So people the awareness is being raised.
Yeah.
But if you can help, help.
Yeah. That's brilliant, lads. Thank you so much. Are you still in the tournament? I've only just got
here.
Yeah, can I just
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah.
Don't be judgmental of the word homelessness.
Yeah.
You know, don't be blinkered by that word.
Right?
Yeah. You know, find out a bit more about it before you make a judgment.
Yeah. Can I ask you, sorry, because you said you're homeless at the moment, so obviously, you're here playing football for Wales, which is fantastic. What is your life like when you go home, when you leave here tonight? Because go home's the wrong word, isn't it? Where are you going? Are you staying with the squad?
Yeah, we're staying with the squad tonight, but once the squad's finished, I'll probably spend some time with my fiancé and her family and go back to my hostel and sort my room out.
So how important is it then that once the tournament's over, everyone's sort of gone? You know, there's a hell of a job to do, isn't there?
Oh yeah. And hopefully, you know, with the tournament being in Wales in Cardiff, a lot of people are going to see that we are good people.
Yeah,
we're not going to sit in the doorway and say, oh, have you got spare change or anything like that. We are good people. Even those guys who are living in tents, they're good people.
Yeah.
They just need a chance.
Yeah.
They just made a wrong turn in life. That's all. And obviously, hopefully, all this is going to make everyone else make that other choice or that other direction in life, because definitely it's helped me just within the 3 months, and it's still 3-4 days to go. Do you know what I mean? So
brilliant. And Wayne, do you want to know the last word as a coach?
Come on, Wales!
Hey! fantastic. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Well done, Tom. Cheers. Good luck, lads.
So there we have it, part one of the homelessness special from the Homeless World Cup, a joyous and important event that I hope will go some way to changing perceptions and, crucially, policy across the board in terms of providing the basic right of a roof over all our heads. It was great to speak to Mel, the players and Ridian, and the spirit and camaraderie between all the nations was wonderful to see. Michael Sheen, Mel Young and everyone who helped put this event together deserve enormous credit. It's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you to Working Word for the access and Jeremy Rees for the music. Part 2 of this special will be out at the end of August. But for now, thanks for listening.